Amen and amen. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 68. Our God is so good. And this morning, we are going to share on something that is so simple. You see, the whole of the Bible, let me put it this way, and the ways of the kingdom of God, everything about God is so simple. Don't let us complicate anything for ourselves when it comes to the ways of God. They are clearly shown in Scripture, clearly revealed to us by the Spirit. The problem with many of us is because our hearts are not set on God. That's why we don't see the light as we ought to see it. God has not kept anything back from any of us. But if our hearts are not really seeking after Him, then we are the ones shortchanging ourselves. It is the pleasure of God to give us the kingdom. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. And in Jeremiah 29, Bible says right there that we shall seek the Lord and find Him when we search for Him with all our hearts. As long as we give God the totality of our hearts and we don't keep anything back, we will see the light in a very simple manner. And there will be no confusion in any of us as to the ways of God and what God has already prepared for us as His children, both now and throughout all eternity. And so this morning we are going to be looking at a simple truth that God has a daily supply for every one of us. God has a daily supply for you. God has a daily supply for me. Why don't you say that to yourself? God has a daily supply for me. And then say to someone near you, God has a daily supply for you. Amen. So as long as we understand this truth, none of us will be looking over the fence to look at what other people have. Because we all just need to look to God. He already has a supply for each one of us. He prepared everything for us from the foundation of the world. And there is no way the resources of God can ever be depleted by man. Because God is inexhaustible. God's riches are beyond measure. He has a rich supply for every one of us. He can supply unto you more than you can even ask Him. That's the kind of God we serve. That's why He is called El Shaddai. The God that is more than enough. Not just barely enough, it's more than enough. It can be more than enough for you when you are sick to heal you and restore you to perfect wholeness. It can be more than enough for you when you are going through hardship of life and give you beauty for ashes, as Bible says. And the oil of gladness for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and just turn your life all around in the twinkling of an eye like a dream. That's the kind of God we serve. He has more than enough ability to intervene in every situation of your life and my life and turn things around for His own glory. There is no need looking at other people's supply because you have more than enough. God has more than enough for you. You just need to learn how to lay hold upon these things. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. How to lay hold upon what God already has prepared for each one of us. I don't need your supply. Your supply is your supply. You don't need my supply. My supply is my supply. But each one of us need to look to God. the source of our daily supply. That's all. As long as we all look to God, our supply will never fail to come to us, because God knows how to deliver to the right address. Your package will never go to the wrong address. Why? Because God knows exactly how to locate you right where you are. And he has angels that know how to bring the blessings to you right where you are. We just need to understand all these things in the Bible and take responsibility to do our own part. As we shall see this morning, the problem is never with God. The problem is with you and me. It's as simple as that. All right, let's look at Psalm 68. For the sake of time, we are just going to go down to verse 19. Let's read it together. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. The word seller there means pause and reflect on what has just been said. In other words, pause and let this truth sink into your heart. Just take a reflection. Blessed be the God of our salvation, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Just meditate on that for a moment. And you realize that God is the God of our salvation. We don't need to look to man. That's why I said you don't need to look over the fence and look at what other people have. Your help is not coming from them. God is the God of your salvation. And the word translated salvation there is not just talking about the initial salvation. That's at the point when we confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. He's talking about the whole package of redemption. Everything that Jesus brought to mankind through his death on the cross of Calvary. Just as Isaiah prophesied. And so that word salvation will include healing and health. It will include my well-being, my welfare, my deliverance out of all afflictions of life, and every wisdom I need, every prosperity I need, every peace I need, every joy I need, every breakthroughs I need, everything that pertains to life and godliness that will glorify God in your life and in my life is included in that word salvation. That's why Bible describes God as the God of salvation, the God who is the source of all our redemption. And he is blessed forever. In other words, we can wake up every morning and just give glory to him because he has done his part. Now look at this phrase, daily loadeth. Please mark that in your Bible. Daily loadeth. Daily loadeth. Don't ever forget that. In fact, if you don't remember much that I said this morning, remember, daily loaded. Daily loaded. The God of my salvation is the God that daily loadeth me. He daily loadeth me. Personalize it now. He daily loaded me. You see, faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it. That's when the power of God will then perform it for you. Don't just say, I believe God, but then you are doubting and wondering, oh, like Gideon did. Ah, when the angel appeared unto him and said unto him, oh, you are a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, who? Me? I'm not mighty at all. I'm from the least tribe in the land. How can I be mighty? There are people mightier than me. And the angel said, God is with you. He said, no, how can you say God is with me? If God was with me, how come I'm so impoverished? How come and we are all hiding even everything we have? Because if the Midianites see it, they will take it from us. Look at me, I'm threshing this wheat and I'm doing it secretly. Because if this Midianites see me with this wheat, they will take it from me and make my case even to be worse. and bring greater poverty on me. Where are the promises of God if God is with us? You see, that's how the mind reasons. But God is beyond our human reasoning. That's why the Bible says, don't lean on your own human understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. You have to learn to reason with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, just let your thoughts be founded on the word of God and the word of God alone. Forget about any other reasoning. If your reasoning does not line up with the word of God, you have to know that that is the devil speaking to your mind. The same way he went in the garden and got Eve to reason against the word that God said unto her through Adam. It's the same old devil. That's why the Bible says you have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ in your own mind and in your own heart. Don't just entertain any kind of thought. If you are going to walk by faith, you need to reason with the mind of Christ. You have to be in agreement with the word of God. Forget about how the thing looks on the outside. Oh, if God be with me, how come I have all these problems? God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. It is the devil that is trying to take your attention away from God by bringing those problems your way to distract your focus. That's just the trick of the devil. That's just the trick of the devil. He has to distract your focus away from God, where your help and your daily supply is coming from. So that as you are not focused on God, you cannot release faith toward God to receive what already belongs to you. If you are sick, the devil will make you focus on your sickness all day long. And he will remind you of what the GP said, that that sickness is incurable. So that all day you are sitting down, eating the bread of sorrows, and feeling so grieved in yourself that how come I have this problem? And yet I'm faithful to God. How come I'm sick like this? And my sickness is incurable. See, it's the lie of the devil. It is the lie of the devil just to get you to take your attention away from the truth that God has given you. And you just have to learn to switch off from what the devil is saying and switch on to what the Bible says. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Now, God, Bible says here, daily loaded. Daily loaded. Not that he daily barely gives us something that will be barely enough. That's why the Bible uses the word loaded. When you are loaded, you don't have any space anymore. Isn't that so? A load means you are full. You are fully supplied. There is no room for anything anymore. And that's what you have to understand, because if you are going to walk in agreement with God, you have to think exactly like he thinks. Don't see yourself as somebody that is just trying barely to have barely enough. No, no, no. See yourself as somebody that is fully loaded. Because that's what God said. As someone says, how can that be? My bank account is in the red. They just told me that I'm in overdraft. How can you say I'm fully loaded? Where is the load now? The account is empty. You see, you are still reasoning like a man. You are leaning on your human understanding. You have to agree with God so that your circumstances will change and be like God said it should be. So if your bank account is in the red, that's what the devil is doing to distract you from what God has said. You have to agree with God and see that this God of salvation knows how to turn red into whatever color that'll make your life to be exactly as he has said. And someone may say, well, I believed that yesterday. I tried to believe that. But today I went to the bank. They said it's still red. You see, you're still reasoning like a man. God didn't say to you that you should look at it in 24-hour-a-day clock. Faith is not something that you time. Faith is something you live by every day. That's why the Bible says daily God loads you with benefits. So you wake up that day, oh, praise God, I'm fully loaded. My bank account is loaded. Glory, hallelujah. God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care if that bank account is still saying red 1 week, 1 month from now. That doesn't bother me anymore. Because every day I wake up, I'm going to keep declaring the same thing. I walk by faith and not by sight. Because see, you have to fight the good fight of faith. In order to resist the devil, who is the one that is actually trying to get you to experience something other than what God has promised you. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 7, you cast your cares upon the Lord. And then in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil. And then in verse 9, it says, you resist him by being steadfast in the faith. The key word there is steadfast. It didn't say just do it one day and then look whether it's working and then give up. Steadfast means continually until you win the victory. Don't give up. Don't give ground to the enemy. Keep standing on the word of God and choose to walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, believe what God has said. Think in line with God. Put on the mind of Christ. Take your eyes off of the red in the bank account and just focus on what God has said. God daily loaded me with benefits, and part of the benefit is prosperity. Therefore, my bank account has no choice but to turn from red to black. I said going to be done. I don't know. That's not my business. That's not my business. God knows what to do. How to perform his word is in his hands, not in my hand. So don't try to figure out. The debt is so big. Even if I work for the next how many years, I won't be able to repay this. How can I turn it from red to black? You see, that's the problem. You are still relying on yourself. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who knows how to bring his word to pass in ways that will astound us. We ourselves will not even be able to fathom it out. So don't try to figure out how God will perform his word. Just leave it in his hands. You do your part, believe, walk by faith, and keep standing your ground in faith, and wait patiently for God to bring it to pass in the physical. Because every promise of God is already settled in the spirit. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. But we want to see the manifestation here on earth. And that's where we need faith. Because the devil is here on earth. He has been cast away from heaven. He operates here on earth. And the atmospheric heaven, the first heaven where we are, in order to try to hinder us from getting what God wants us to have. Remember how he tried to hinder Daniel from receiving the answer that God sent in Daniel chapter 10? For 21 days, the prince of Persia withstood the angel that was bringing the answer to Daniel. So quite a lot is going on in the realm of the spirit. And most of us don't understand these things. And then we are here leaning on our human understanding, and the devil is beating our brains out by feeding us with all kinds of lies and confusion and distracting our focus away from the truth, which is in Christ Jesus. The truth is that God daily loaded us with benefits in Christ. If you are a Christian, this is your portion. And you have to agree with God and then see how God, by his own power, will perform it in due season. Bible says when God turned the captivity of his people around, it was like a dream. God knows how to suddenly intervene and turn things around for you. But you have to walk by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So God daily loaded us with benefits. Benefits. Underline the word benefits also. Benefits means what you don't work for yourself, but has been freely provided for you by another. Jesus provided all these things for you as the sheep of his pasture. You didn't work for you to get the benefits of redemption. No. Jesus did the works. He finished the works. And then he has invited you to come and partake of the fruit of his work. That's what is called benefit. And that covers everything that Jesus died for. In order to purchase our liberty from sin and the curse that came upon this earth because of sin. Thank God you and I are the redeemed of the Lord. And we can say so all our days. Now, again, before we move on from verse 19 here of Psalm chapter 68, I want you to see again the word daily. In other words, every day. Therefore, there is no need for you to worry about whether God will run out of supply. Oh, okay. If God will load me with the benefits today, let me just gather everything together for tomorrow in case there is no supply for tomorrow. God said he will do it daily. Remember how he brought manna from heaven daily to supply unto the children of Israel? And remember what he told them? He said they should not keep today's supply for tomorrow. And those who did not have enough faith, I don't know about you, maybe I would have done the same thing. We are in the wilderness. There is no food. We can't even eat cucumber. There is no corn in the field. Nothing. Well, now this food has come from heaven and it is called manna. We don't even understand what it is. But at least it's food. And this Moses is saying to us that God said, Moses, this leader, he's saying God said, don't keep it for tomorrow. Don't mind this Moses. Maybe he didn't hear well. So what are we going to eat tomorrow? If it runs out, maybe we'll go out tomorrow and the supply is not there. We're in the wilderness, remember? You better let us keep for tomorrow in case the supply doesn't come. So they kept it. But you know, God is full of good sense of humor. He made what they kept to stink so that they couldn't eat it. And so they learned from that truly what God said is true. Because when they went out the next morning, it was there. And it kept coming every day from heaven. A fresh supply for each new day. God has a supply for you on a daily basis. Because he knows what you have need of daily. In that supply, there is spiritual provision for you, emotional provision, physical provision, material provision. If you need favor at a place of work, the provision is there. You need protection from evil, the provision is there. You need victory in any area of life, the provision is there. You need breakthroughs, the provision is there. Everything you need as a child of God that will make your life to glorify God is in that daily supply. Because God knows our need more than we do. And he prepared the provision even from the foundation of the world. Before Adam, God prepared your daily benefits from you. Remember, Bible says Jesus was slain even before the foundation of the world. And in case you are still trying to figure that out, remember that man was the last creation of God. It wasn't after God made man that he began to think of where to put him. Okay, let me make a garden for him. God already made the garden, put everything in the garden. There was total supply for man. So that when Adam was created and put in that garden, the provision was already there for him. He never lacked anything until sin came and God drove him out of the garden. And he lost his place of sufficiency in that garden. And now he had to toil because of sin. But thank God Jesus has come to redeem us from that curse and put us back. Let's use the garden of God again. We're in the garden of God now in Christ Jesus. We have everything that we need on a daily basis, but we have to learn to receive it. That's where we are going this morning. It's not enough for me to know that God daily loads me with benefit. But what do I need to do to make sure that I don't miss out on that day's supply? And God will help us to see that clearly this morning. But before we go on to that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. So whether we look under the old or the New Testament, God is consistently the same. He's the God who doesn't change. So don't say, well, it was like this under the old, but I don't know whether it applies under the new. So are you saying that God has passed away then? Because God and his word are one and the same. So if you are saying, well, that was under the Old Testament, but we can't apply it under the new. You are telling God that, God, you have become history. You are no longer relevant today. That's what you are saying, in effect. Because God and his word are one. God is the same under the Old Testament and the new. It is lack of understanding that makes some people think, oh, God has changed. Well, God never changes. The practice of the procedure may be modified, but the key essence of the truth is still the same. For instance, before you would approach God's presence in the tabernacle under the old covenant, you would have to bring something that will have some blood sacrifice. You either bring a turtle dove, or you bring a cattle, you bring, you know, a ram. You have to bring something. But then, under the new covenant, we don't need the blood of animals anymore. But we still need blood. Isn't that so? So the principle is still the same. The methodology has changed. But the key thing is still the same. You cannot approach God's presence without blood. So the blood of animals provided temporary access to God because of the atonement that was under the old covenant. And even with that, a lot of ceremonial things had to be done and a lot of rules had to be kept. And there was a place called the Holy of Holies that nobody dared go into, even with the blood, anytime. But only once a year, Aaron, the high priest, is the only one that could go there with blood to make that atonement for the people of Israel. Once a year. But now under the new covenant, because God has provided a better way for us, but we still need the blood, which is the blood of Jesus. Now, you and I can go into the presence of God, not once a year. We can go all day long. Isn't that wonderful? But the principle is still the same. So God has not changed. He's still the same. He needs that blood we need the blood to access his presence. Because there is life in the blood. And God is the author of life. So thank God. So don't say it has passed away. Hold on, new. God is the same. Now look at what Jesus himself said here, which is the same as what we just read in the book of Psalm. Matthew chapter 6, we all know it very well. Many of us pray this prayer every time, but we have to understand it, that it's not just something to recite. It is something we need to understand and release our faith in. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But let's drop down to verse 11. Give us this day our daily. See the word? Daily. Not to stand here today and be asking for tomorrow's bread. Jesus said, give us this day. Our daily bread. In other words, there is a daily supply for us. So, God, give me today what you have prepared for me for today. I'm not asking for tomorrow's bread today. And that's where many of us get in trouble when we are praying. And then, because we pray amiss, the devil sneaks in on us. Because, see, the devil is very cunning. He knows he has no authority over us, but he watches us. And then he listens to what we are saying, because he doesn't know anything except what he sees us do and what he hears us say. So if he hears me praying and he hears me saying, God, give me my tomorrow's bread today. And this is one of the ignorant ones. Then you know, I can steal from this one because of his ignorance. Then he will come and say, so you just prayed now. Can't you see? You didn't get anything. You see? The reason you didn't get anything from God is because of the sin you did last week. You remember? Remember when you were driving down the road and that person crossed you roughly, you curse him. And the servant of the Lord must not curse anybody. So God has rejected you. Remember how he rejected Saul? Because Saul sinned, God said, I've rejected you from being king. God has rejected you from being a servant. So you are no good to God anymore. That's why your prayer was not answered. And if you are ignorant, you think about that, scratch your head and say, ah, I've lost it. Oh God, I'm now so worthless. Oh God, why did I do that last week? Oh, well, if only I could wind the clock back to last week and then get that man back on the road. I won't curse him. I will bless him. Oh God, now I've lost everything. Ah, ignorance. Ignorance. How did the devil get me thinking that way? Because of my ignorance. But if I knew the truth, I would have told the devil, you shut up. We are talking family business here. You don't belong in the family. I'm talking with my father. I'm talking to him. If I did it wrong, I ask him for forgiveness. The blood of Jesus immediately cleansed that, and there is no record of it against me anymore. Bless God. Hallelujah. And I can get the blessing from God every day, every time. But you see, because already I prayed amiss, I was asking for tomorrow's bread today, I opened the door for the devil. That's how these things work. That's why we have to know the simplicity of the gospel and develop personal relationship and trust in God based on what he has said. Because God is faithful, who has promised, Bible says. He always keeps his word. You can rest assured that whatsoever God has promised you in this holy Bible, he will perform. Not one jot or tittle shall pass from it. Even Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land, towards the end, when he was about to die, and he began to recount all the faithfulness of God, he told the children of Israel, that, look, I'm about to leave you now. I'm about to go back to the to God who sent me. Let me paraphrase it that way. Now, you remember that all the promises God gave, he has fulfilled every one of them. Not one of them has failed. Not one. Why? Because that's God for you. He's not as flaky as we are as men. God is genuine. God is faithful. If he promises you something, he will perform it. You just need to know how to walk with him in order not to miss out on the supply. Because the supply is already there. But you have to learn to receive it. So Jesus said we have to get from God daily. So don't worry about tomorrow today. Walk with God today in obedience, trusting in him. And tomorrow, when you get to tomorrow, tomorrow will become today then. Just do exactly the same thing. Your supply will come your way every day. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Before we leave Matthew chapter 6, let's drop down also to verse 34. And then we begin to see again Jesus still talking here. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, in verse 34, he's saying, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. Take it one day at a time. In other words, don't stress yourself by bringing tomorrow into today. You know, it causes stress. You and I, we've all been through it. If you sit down today to try to figure out about tomorrow, you'll be there racking your brain, and sometimes you just develop headache. Why? Because you don't have the grace for tomorrow today. God supplies the grace that you need for each day. And you have to learn to trust him, just as the children of Israel learned to trust him for manna on a daily basis. You have to learn to trust him on the basis of his word that he has a supply for you each day. I don't need to worry about tomorrow, because when I get to tomorrow, tomorrow will become today then. And therefore, the word of God will still apply for that particular day which I'm thinking about right now, and I ought not to be thinking about, because it's in the future. the future, when I get there, will become today, and the word of God will be applicable. Give me this day my daily bread. God, the God of my salvation, I bless you because daily you load me with benefit. You know, just living that way will take the stress out of our lives as Christians. And the people of the world will begin to notice the difference because they live under so much stress. And they'll begin to come to us and say, but how come you people are not stressed? Don't you worry about tomorrow? Did you not hear the news? They said another plague is coming from somewhere. The one we already have is not cleared yet. Another one is coming. And then they said there's another problem happening somewhere else. And then before you know, if you don't know the truth, you just begin to think like they think, and your heart will be overwhelmed. You as a Christian, you are not supposed to be thinking that way. Don't take thought for tomorrow, Jesus said. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. In other words, take it one day at a time, because God has a supply for you to live victoriously this day. This day. So tomorrow is another day. When that day comes, God will still be there for you. So don't stress yourself. Take it one day at a time. Oh, does that mean that I shouldn't plan for tomorrow? No, that's not what I'm saying. You can plan for tomorrow, but don't let the plan become a burden to you. When you plan for tomorrow, take it to God and say, God, I've made a plan, just as you said to Habakkuk, for instance, write the vision down, it's for the future. But I'm not stressed over it, because I'll take it one day at a time. I present it to you so that you order my steps daily regarding this plan to bring it to pass at the appointed time, in Jesus' name. No stress. No stress. No worry. No stress. One day at a time. Say to yourself, one day at a time. Because God is there every day. Amen. I think some of us think of God like we think of men. And maybe tomorrow he would have gone on vacation. And then when I go and knock on his door, it's not available. No, God is not like that. He's always there. Always there. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't even sleep. He doesn't slumber. Always ready. Always available. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's begin to bring this thing together to conclusion. Write this down so you can meditate on it when you get home. Number one, don't worry about tomorrow. Instead, trust God day by day to faithfully load you with his benefits. And that's what we have seen from Psalm 68, verse 19, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 11 and 34, which we have looked at so far. Don't worry about tomorrow. Instead, you learn to trust God day by day to faithfully load you. Again, load you. In other words, it will give you what will be more than sufficient for you for each day. Now, write this next. The problem of not receiving the supply or the daily supply, the problem of not receiving the daily supply is never with God. So, if you are thinking thoughts along the line that, oh, but I asked yesterday for my daily bread, I didn't get anything, you have to understand the problem wasn't with God. God will never be at fault. God is perfect. So I have to examine myself, as Bible says, whether I'm in the faith. Did I do it right? Did I really walk the way I should walk to ensure that I don't miss out on the supply of God? Let me give you an illustration. For instance, if the postman is going to deliver my parcel to my home address, and I decide to go and live on the moon, the postman won't bring it to the moon. So I'm the one that missed the parcel. Not the person who sent it. The person who sent it to the right address. But I was not available to receive the delivery. That's how we are in the spirit many times. When God sends the supply, He sends it to the place called obedience, where He expects every one of His children to be. So just know that when God sends the supply, He sends it to the address called obedience. And that's where you should be living as a Christian. But when you decide to go and live at the address called disobedience, you can't get the supply there. The angel doesn't bring the supply to the address called disobedience. He brings the supply to the address called obedience. Why? Because the angels of God, they must not do anything that violates the word of God. Otherwise, God will cast them away too. Those of them that rebelled against God, Bible says God has held them in chain, reserved for everlasting fire, together with the devil that led rebellion in heaven. The one thought that came under the control of Lucifer, they've all been cast down with Lucifer. It's all there in Revelation chapter 12. The dragon, the devil, was cast out, and his angels with him. So the angels that remain in glory, they are angels of obedience. They will never violate the word of God, just as the Holy Spirit will never violate the word of God. And you, as a child of God, ought not to violate the word of God. Oh, I asked for my daily bread yesterday. I didn't get anything. Well, you are at the wrong address. Probably. And if you are not at the wrong address, you didn't understand some things, which I see all those things clearly this morning before we go. You can be at the place called obedience and still be wondering why you didn't get the supply. There are a few other things you need to understand about walking with God, because all these things are clear in the Bible. For instance, you need patience. Didn't the Bible say so? You need patience. That even after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Perhaps what was happening is that what you asked for, the bread you asked for, God did not mean it for yesterday. God meant it for another day. So be patient. It will arrive at the right time. You are looking for it at the wrong time. And God is a perfect God. He will get it to you at the right time. Just be patient. So don't doubt God. Because the devil will use all these things to get you to doubt or get you to be double-minded so that you don't receive. Which I see all that before we go. I'm just going to give it to you, explain it so that I can go home. Please meditate on these things. Because we need to understand the ways of God so that we can walk with God. God wants every one of His children. It's not just for ministers alone. Every one of His children, God expects us to understand His ways and walk with Him. God is no respecter of persons. The job of the minister is to help you see the truth as it is written in the scripture so that you can see it clearly yourself and say, praise God. It is not the minister speaking to me. It is God speaking to me through the minister, because His word is the means by which He communicates with me. Glory to God. I see the light. I will walk in it in Jesus' name. And you give God the glory. Don't give the glory to the minister. Give the glory to God. The minister is just a servant. God can use a donkey to be a minister, you know. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. All right. So the problem, if you fail to receive your daily supply, is never with God. It is always with you and me. So write that down. And let's quickly look at these scriptures. Write these scriptures in front of that statement. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Now, when you are meditating on your notes, in order not to mix it up, because I understand what I've written here, for the first part of the statement, which we have just said, which is the problem of not receiving the daily supply, is never with God, but with me. Write the first scripture I gave to you, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. And then make a little note after that before you write the other two scriptures. And make this note. This is because faith is needed to receive from God. And then you write the other two scriptures, James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, and Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Then that will help you when you are studying your notes to flow smoothly and gain clear understanding. But first, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. So the problem is never with God. If I say, oh, I prayed for my daily bread, I didn't get it. It's not God's fault. As I gave you the illustration, it is always my fault. Number one, for starters, I may be at the wrong address. The wrong address is the place of disobedience. So I can't get it there. So I need to move to the right address, which is called the place of obedience. Then my daily bread will be there. God doesn't supply to the wrong address. It delivers to the right address. So I just have to make sure I obey God and stay in that place of obedience. Then the supply will come to me right there. Now, Matthew chapter 7. Look at what Bible says here. We all know this passage of scripture, but let's read together from verse 7 to 11. Let's go. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Isn't that clear? God gives. That's just the truth. So if I didn't receive, it is not God's fault, because God gives. He has given the daily bread. So why did I not receive it then? That's now a question to ask myself. Faith is required. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. Let's quickly turn there. And then I'll give you the things that hinder us from receiving, so that you go home and meditate in them. And you and I can look at ourselves in the light of those basic things. They are not exhaustive in themselves, but they are the main ones which we all need to pay attention to. Then the little foxes that are there, God will also guide you in all those areas when you are meditating on what we have given you this morning by the grace of God in Jesus' name. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Quickly now, let us read because of time. All right, let's go. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see the key here in this context? I'm sure when you get home and meditate on it, it will be clearer to you. Bible says when you ask God, he will give to you liberally. Again, because it's El Shaddai, it doesn't give to you barely enough. It will give to you more than enough. Oh God, I lack wisdom. He will supply more than what you need. But you have to ask in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then you must make sure you don't doubt after asking. That's where the devil robs many of us as Christians. After we've prayed, then he will tell us, well, you prayed about that thing last week. Can't you see it's still the same? It hasn't changed. Instead, it has gone worse. You are wasting your time. You are not going to get that victory. Just give up now and forget it. Then we doubt. See, the devil catches us at the word. He knows that the moment we doubt, we are not going to receive what God has given us. So the fault is not on God's side. He has given. But I'm not receiving because I'm doing something violating the requirements that God has set for receiving. I'm doubting. I'm wavering. I'm not steadfast in faith. Imagine what would have happened if Daniel had not been steadfast in faith until the 21st day. He would not have received the answer. God is no respecter of persons. But he kept his place of steadfastness in prayer and faith until God cleared the way by moving the archangel of war himself, Angel Michael, to fight with that prince of Persia and get him defeated so that the angel bringing the message to Daniel could pass through. If you remain steadfast in faith, God will move the whole of heaven just for you to ensure you get what he has given you. The devil can't rob you. Say to your neighbor, the devil can't rob you if you are steadfast in faith. Amen. And finally, Galatians 3, on that note, and then I'll give you the others so that we can round up and you go home and study this some more. It's not something that you just hear in one service. Faith coming by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing again and again and again the word of God. Don't stop hearing it. Don't stop meditating in it. 13 to 14, let's go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. We receive how? Through faith. God gives, we have to receive. So the fault is not on God's side because he always gives in line with his promises. The fault is on my side because I'm the one not receiving what God has given me because I'm violating his ways. God has the ways of his kingdom. Now please write this down. The things that hinder us from receiving. And please, as I said, go home and meditate in them. Because we need, alright, I'll do this again some other time, but I'll give it to you. The Lord just said to me to make it clearer by elaborating on it, not just to give it to you alone to go and read, but I'll give it to you today, and then next time I will explain it better, in Jesus' name. Please write this down. Hindrances to receiving your daily bread from God. Number one, unbelief. In front of that, please write Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Number two, doubt or double-mindedness. In front of that, James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Number 3, unforgiveness. In front of that, Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Number 4, impatience. In front of that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Number 5, selfishness or unloving motives. In front of that, James chapter 4, verse 3. Amen. So just you begin to study that as the Lord has just directed me. I'm going to do this the next time by his grace. And then we can break it down and make it clearer for every one of us to understand. Bible says we have to make it clear so that he that reads may run with it. And that's what God just said to me, and I have to obey him. I wanted to just give it to you and get you to go and do the study on your own, but God said I should do it the other way. So let's rise to our feet and praise God. Our God is so good. He wants every one of us to be blessed, and he wants every one of us to walk in the fullness of our inheritance in him. He doesn't want any one of us to miss out on his best for us all. We read earlier this morning from Psalm 103. See, God was leading the senior pastor in the spirit. I think she was reading my notes in the spirit, because it's one spirit. The benefits that belong to us on a daily basis. So let's go back to that Psalm 103. That is the scripture that I was going to use for ministration. So thank God the Holy Spirit confirmed it through the senior pastor. And so let's turn back there this morning and just read from verse 1 to 6. And one-on-one with the Lord, set our hearts to believe and confess with our mouth that we receive those things. That's just our part. The power to perform it belongs to God. Faith is in the heart and in the mouth. Bible speaks about the righteousness of faith, which you and I have in Christ. From verse 6 of Romans chapter 10 down to verse 10, it explains how that faith operates. Say not in your heart. In other words, don't worry about how it's going to be done. Who is going to go to heaven and bring Christ down? Who is going to go to the deep and raise him up? In other words, faith does not ask the question, who or how is it going to be? No, that's not faith's problem. Faith simply believes. It says, how does that faith speak? That righteous faith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That if you believe with the heart and you confess with the mouth, everything is sorted out in the spirit of faith. Why? With the heart we believe unto righteousness, to be in agreement with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation in order to receive the benefit of the salvation. Blessed be God, the God of our salvation, who daily loadeth us with benefits. We believe with the heart, we confess with the mouth, and we position ourselves thereby to receive. Of course, we make sure that we don't allow those hindrances to step in the way of forgiveness, unbelief, double-mindedness, selfishness, and all those unrighteous motives and those things, which we shall be explaining later. Once those things are sorted out, then we can stand our ground and believe that we receive, and it shall surely come to pass. So let's turn there again, Psalm 103, and declare with faith in our hearts and faith in our mouth, and believe that we receive these things. It covers all areas of human existence. You are sick in your body, you receive your healing. It's part of the benefit. You need victory in any area, it's part of the benefit, as we see here. David saw it in the spirit even before Jesus came to this earth to establish it. And now we are living on the side of fulfillment. We should be able to believe it even more than David, who saw it ahead of time. So let's declare together from verse 1 to 6. Let's go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. It's no respect of persons, all. In other words, everything the devil has done to oppress you in all areas of life, if you just turn to God in faith and believe that you receive the benefit of salvation, the power of God will turn it around for you. That's the way it works. So go ahead and talk to God right where you are. Talk to him and say, Father, I believe. Oh, I give you thanks, Lord, for these benefits. They are mine. They are mine to enjoy daily, because daily you load me with them. And so I believe I receive forgiveness for my sins. I believe I receive healing for all manner of sickness and disease, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I believe I receive redemption from all the destruction that the enemy might have planned against my life. Many of them I don't even know of, but you know everything, oh God, and I believe you as the God of my salvation to set me free from all the plans of the enemy to destroy my life. In the name of Jesus. See, that's how to do it. Believe you receive and declare it in faith out of your mouth and establish your heart right there. You satisfy my mouth with good things. I expect good things in all areas of my life forever. Because he said goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just sometimes. Every day I will enjoy good things from you, O God. I believe I receive the satisfying. Again, say the word satisfy or load up. No more space for more. You satisfy me with good things. I receive all the good things day by day in Jesus' name. So go ahead and thank him for them. Thank him for all those things. I encourage you, every day you wake up in the morning, declare these promises over your life before you go out to work. Because God loads you daily with benefits. So when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you look to God for is those benefits for that day. You see, the children of Israel had to go out in the morning. They went in the morning. Not even in the afternoon. They went out in the morning to gather manna. Early in the morning, they always went to get it. So when you wake up, the first thing to get is not your coffee or your tea. The first thing is to thank God and bless him for this new day. Oh, Father, I bless you for life. You woke me up from my bed. Praise God forever for life for this day. And I thank you for my daily benefits, oh God. Give me this day my daily bread. I believe I receive every forgiveness that I need today. I believe I receive every healing and health that I need today. I believe I receive total redemption from all the plans of the enemy to destroy my life today. I believe that I receive the satisfying of my life with good things today. I believe I receive the renewing of my youth as the eagles today. You have to do it daily because God daily loads us with benefits. Don't take God for granted. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. And dear Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us in the land of the living. You have done your part, O God. You have finished the work from the foundation of the world. You sent Jesus to this earth to reveal the truth to us, that we may walk in the kingdom blessings while we are here on earth. For we are citizens of heaven. As it is written in your word. Our citizenship is in the heavens from where we await the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said we ought to have the days of heaven here on earth if we will obey you. Help us, Lord, every one of us in this church and our fellow brethren everywhere to do our part and obey you daily. So that your angels may bring to us from heaven the days, every day, all the benefits that belong to us. So that we all may eat of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living every day until you call us home. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, well, lift your hands to him and thank him. You will not miss your daily bread. You will not miss the benefits that God has prepared for you. You will receive the loads coming in. Those angels bringing them in loads to you on a daily basis. And by the grace of God, we shall share some more on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.